T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. A little trouble for Walmart and Target, as they both companies recently had to pull a controversial children's game, which was called Cut the Wire.
Cut the Wire.
And basically, it's a game where you have to defuse a bomb before it blows up.
Cut the Wire.
Yeah. And
I'm looking at the game. This game looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
I wish I had this game when I was a kid.
Yeah. The company that makes it is called Yulu, and they said they'll stop selling it in North America. Here's a commercial for the game.
The all-new Cut the Wire game. A device is ticking and is about to go off. Which wire will you cut? Which is danger? Which is safe? It's the ultimate race to see who can defuse or lose before it's too late. Cut the Wire, the game by Yulu.
Only at Target. Batteries not included.
Yeah.
Oh, the batteries aren't even in it. There's no danger.
No danger at all.
It looks so cartoony.
It really does. And they both Target and Walmart, I guess, got a lot of complaints. That's why they stopped selling it, because it does look very cartoony. It looks like a Fisher Price sort of color scheme. And I mean, it looks like you just got to pick the right color wires. It looks like there's 3 color wires. If you pick the right one, you win. If you don't, I don't know how much replay value.
Up.
Yeah, I don't know how much replay value a game like this has. I mean, unless I'm missing more than how difficult it is to cut the wires, but it looks like you just have to make a choice. Like Jack Bauer.
You're such a nerdy board gamer. You're already talking about like the playability of this game.
He's board game snobbing it.
I am already.
This is just like a drinking game.
Would
you
say,
use that, man?
This would be perfect for adults who are drunk.
Absolutely. You cut the wrong wire, you gotta take a shot.
Yeah. Now, let's get one.
Now, here's the good news about this game.
It's only $7, I think.
Really?
Is it? Wow. Dang. Mm-hmm. The good news about...
Oh, wait, no, $75.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
$75. Well, that's a lot. You know what? They should just stop selling it for that reason.
Well, because it's hard to get now.
Oh, I see. Uh-huh. I wonder what the original ticket price was. I mean, I get why. I get, of course, you know, bombs and stuff like that. It's a real sensitive subject in our country. But this game was actually encouraging the kids to stop the bomb from going off.
Right. Kids need to learn at an early age how to defuse a bomb.
Yeah, of course they do. You never know. And also, it's sending a positive message like, these are bad. We don't want these to happen.
What's the fear? A kid's going to play this game and want to make a bomb? Because I played Operation a lot, and I'm no doctor.
No, you're not. No, you can never get by that wrenched ankle. It always gives you a hard time.
This seems like something that, like, if the kid was interested in it, maybe they would want to become, like, a bomb diffuser or something like you see in the movies.
Well, which isn't bad either, because we need those folks.
Yeah, right?
Dude, I mean, as a kid, or, you know, more like a teen, but you remember, like, watching Lethal Weapon?
Oh, yeah.
And those bomb scenes were the best scenes.
They really were. Mm-hmm.
They were so suspenseful. You're like, is he going to do it?
Yeah, and every you know, you've run into movies, like you said, other TV shows. There's always that scene where it's like, which wire do I cut?
Yeah, and anytime you've ever had to cut something that looks like a wire, don't you pretend it's a bomb?
Yeah.
I do.
Oh, really? I've never done that.
It happened over Christmas. You know, I got my wife a new purse. It was like a fancy pants purse, right? And, you know, it's at Nordstrom, so it's all like super security. Well, they sold it to me. She opens it up on the day of on Christmas, And it's like, oh, I love it, blah, 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 I can't believe you got me this. And then she looks, the security thing is still on the purse.
How'd you get out of the store without having someone tackle you?
Well, I think it's one of those ones that if you rip it off, it starts making an alarm sound.
Oh, gotcha.
So now all of a sudden, I feel like I'm in Lethal Weapon. I'm like, we need to cut the wire.
Cut the wire.
So I got my wire cutters.
You did good.
And I was nervous. I was like, oh, what's going to happen when I cut this security thing off the purse? Will it, like, shoot paint?
Well, I mean, usually if it's the paint ones, they'll have the little, you'll see the paint canister.
Oh, I didn't even bother.
How do you even know that, Vicky?
Because I may or may not have had to remove some illegally when I was younger.
Wow. Okay. But we already bought it. So I'm like,
yes.
What's the worst that's going to happen? It's going to trigger an alarm. The police are going to come. I have the receipt.
Okay, so far so good.
I was overthinking this.
Yeah.
Did you have like a hammer ready in case it started beeping just to smash it? Shut up!
So I cut it, and it was so exhilarating. And then it just it unleashes the most annoying alarm sound.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm like, oh, man, we died.
You cut the wire and died.
So I'm like, I don't know what the hell is going to happen with this. So I just took a bunch of paper, wrapped it up, and duct taped it so I couldn't hear the beeping sound and threw it out away outside.
That was very friendly.
For your neighbors to hear.
Well, I muffled it enough, and I was like, when we leave to go see my in-laws, if it's still making that noise, we'll take it and I'll throw it away at the gas station.
Oh, there you go. And then nobody at the gas station would be afraid of going, what is that beeping sound coming from a trash can?
It was just a little annoying sound.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you smash it? That would have been awesome. Office space, that bitch.
You're right. Where were you when I needed you?
Oh, yeah. Vicky would have loved to just start swinging a hammer at that thing.
We'd be a good Lethal Weapon cop buddy.
Right.
Just smash it.
See, I would be afraid if you smash it. That's when something really bad will happen. Because, you don't want to hear this sound? Okay, criminal. Now it's going to get worse with whatever it will do.
Yeah. That reminds me of an episode of Friends. Phoebe couldn't get her smoke detector to shut up.
Uh-huh.
So she wrapped it in a blanket and threw it down the garbage chute in their apartment complex. And the fireman's like, dude, you're not supposed to disconnect these, and brought it back to her.
Oh, I remember that one, yeah.
Yeah, so I could just imagine that happening if you tossed it at the gas station.
Cutting the wire is fun, man.
I still can't believe that we had to take this off the shelf. I have no problem with Walmart and Target because, look, you know, people complain. They're just trying to make sure they can stay in business or keep their customers. But it's always those whiny customers. I mean, really? Or am I just old? Am I old and I'm not getting, like, this seems to be relatively harmless. It's a cartoony-looking thing.
Well, and it's way better than a lot of the games that are out there these days. Like, for kids, there's one called Flush and Frenzy. And if you don't plunge it right, the poop pops up and hits you in the face.
I saw that at a grocery store, and I almost bought it.
Lily wanted that one, and I was like,
get it for her.
I don't want to play the poop game.
I'd rather play the
cut the wire game.
I mean, agree. But that'd be great at, like, parties.
Flush and Frenzy is pretty funny.
I kind of want to get it for my cats.
Dude, that cartoon poop is very scary looking.
It really is.
It almost looks like a brown pickle.
Yeah.
It's like Mr. Hankey went through, like, some hard times. And,
yeah.
A brown pickle.
Wow.
Hey, someone says, my kid has that bomb toy, and they love it. They're 6 years old. I don't understand. I mean, is it? It's insensitive in our climate.
Well, yeah, because obviously, look, yeah, we've had, you know, obviously in the world there are suicide bombers. I get that. There are bomb threats. There are obviously terrorist, you know, actions domestically and internationally. I get that. But
I think we're overthinking this one. I think.
I mean, I'm trying to get in my mindset of like an extremist viewpoint on this, and the only thing I could think of is, what if a kid sees a real one and tries to play with it, like.
And when is that going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
You never know. Time it happens, and then it's like, oh my God, we should have foreseen this.
I hope you never know.
I hope
know
I'm
people.
Wrong, but.
Yeah, well, of course you hope you're wrong about the reason?
Yeah.
No, you're probably right. I mean, you never know people who don't know stats.
What a world we're in, man. Yeah.
I agree.
Like many years ago, I bet they would have taken the Hungry Hungry Hippos off the shelves because it promotes overeating.
Obesity,
child obesity,
or PETA would have
animal cruelty. You shouldn't be serving these hippos marbles.
Yeah, do you know what you're doing to these hippos? Serving the marbles,
mousetrap as well. You should let the mouse do what it wants.
Oh yeah, they probably want to rename that whole thing.
Be like called mouse free.
Yeah, mouse free.
Mouse free.
That's right. Build up an elaborate device to let the mice go.
It's a bummer now we can't get this game for. A reasonable price.
But we still have the flush. What was it called? Flush and Fun? What is it called?
Yeah, we should get flush one of those. How much does that go for?
That's $10.
Oh, we should get one.
Yeah, I'm not that upset about the bomb game now that Flush and Frenzy is available.
Yeah. Can we get the Pimple Pete game too?
No.
What's that?
It's the one where you pop pimples on a face.
Even I don't want that.
Oh, come on, Vicky.
Wow. Oh, that's actually
one
really
because
kids.
It's not really like pimple gunk. It's just water.
Seriously, we have Flush and Frenzy and Pimple Pete, but the bomb game is really threatening. I mean, there's some disgusting games for kids. I have no idea about this.
I'm currently playing SWAT the Fly game.
I know. What are you doing?
So what the hell are you doing?
Oh, there is a fly in here. I wasn't sure what you were doing.
Steve.
What?
What are you...
Stop slapping the microphone.
There's a stupid fly in my face.
Yeah, so Steve is... it keeps flying by his microphone, and he thinks that he's going to be fast enough to get it.
I'm not.
No, you're not. Sorry. You're
chopsticks, Danielson.
Yeah.
Take a shot.
Wow.
You missed. Oh,
last night there was some cool stuff that happened in L.A. A lot of great rock stars showed up to pay tribute to Chris Cornell. But how about it was a pop star that stole the show?
So good.
Steve will tell you all about this. He's got the news for you at 6:17 on The Rock.
BJ and Migs, mornings on The Rock, 99.9
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. What are you doing this Saturday night? Well, I have got like the best thing that you could ever want to do with your life.
Ever.
Ever. All right. I don't know if you know Steve's band, Bruiser Brody, but they kick the proverbial ass.
Thank you.
And it's your CD release show at the Crocodile.
Yep, big CD release show. We're playing with our friends in Woodshed and also The Last International. They're going to be celebrating the release of their record as well. And they're a great band from New York that I absolutely love. So it's going to be an awesome night of music at the Crocodile Saturday night. And we're celebrating Taryn Daly's birthday. So come out and celebrate. Celebrate Taryn Daly's birthday.
I think it's time that we have to give Taryn her new name. Okay.
What's that?
And that would be the Queen of Awesome.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. How about that? Taryn's having a birthday. You guys are playing. Dude, you played the Crocodile, which is a great joint.
Awesome. I was just there last night. So I've been called Thursday on a Wednesday. Not weird.
Wait a second. I don't think my head can figure that out.
So it's going to be a lot of fun, man. A lot of guys from KSW. You know, Vicky's swinging by. The Rev. Ryan Castle. Yeah. Taryn Daly, of course. Ted Smith.
Dude, you got. I don't know if I heard you or not, but will you have CDs there?
Yep.
Oh,
CDs,
yeah.
All that fun stuff.
Guys, seriously, pick up a Bruiser Brody CD. It's so good. And, of course, when you see him live, you're going to go like, yeah, I want this. Check it out, KISW.com. That's where you can get all the info about Steve's big show, Tara, and Taryn's big birthday.
Well, he's no Pulitzer Prize winner. Hell, he can't even pronounce Pulitzer. This is News with Steve Migs.
Well, thanks, you guys. Thanks to Beacon Plumbing, Heating, and Mechanical. And happy Get to Know Your Customers Day.
Yeah.
That's right, strippers. Be a little nicer to your custies.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
And baristas.
Yeah.
And ask them a question or two. Find out something about them.
Oh, I do that a lot. You know me. Last time you... Remember when I talked stories with these girls, because I want to feel like, you know, I'm helping them out.
Yeah, learn something about your customer. I mean, what would you say? Like, I know our listeners are not our customers, right? But...
They're my custies.
All right.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to learn one little fun tidbit about our quote-unquote customers. So text us, and we can share...
Oh.
Maybe throughout the morning, fun things about our quote-unquote customers.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. So if you have a fun little tidbit of information about yourself, feel free to share it, and throughout the day we'll try
to remember to do that when we're talking to people on the phone.
Yes.
I like this idea.
It's also Ditch Your New Year's Resolution Day. Yeah! So
done.
Oh, I got close. You don't have to go to gym anymore, people.
I got close today.
What happened?
Well, I got on the scale. I am down, but not down as much as I want to be. I hate that when you have an expectation and it's not what you want it to be. I'm ready to ditch the diet.
Go. Eat some food today.
Get some cupcakes.
I still got to stick with it, but I'm not happy.
Dude, there was a great show that happened last night at the Forum in L.A. I wish it happened here. That would have been really cool to be able to check it out. It was a big show to pay tribute and show love for Chris Cornell, former Soundgarden, Audioslave, Temple of the Dog singer, who unfortunately is no longer with us. It was hosted by Jimmy Kimmel. It was put together by Chris Cornell's family. And what they did is they just assembled a who's who of rock stars and pop stars to jump on stage with members of Soundgarden, members of Temple of the Dog, members of Audioslave, and do some of your favorite Chris Cornell songs, as well as doing some of their own songs as well, like Dave Grohl did Everlong. Metallica was there doing some of their songs and also doing a Soundgarden song as well.
Wow.
Guys from, what else? I'm trying to think of who else was there. Like I said, Chris Stapleton was also there. Ziggy Marley.
Ooh.
What
an eclectic, awesome group.
Oh, it was just incredible. The Melvins was the one I was thinking about, which is really cool because they're Northwest ties as well. Josh from Queens of the Stone Age. I grabbed a couple of highlights. Wow. Of course, these are just bootleg audio clips that people shot, but it was kind of cool just to hear some of these songs done by some of your favorite artists, some of your favorite Cornell songs, that is. Dave Grohl jumped up on stage with Robert Trujillo from Metallica.
Yeah.
And they jammed with Audioslave and did a great version of Show Me How to Live.
Is this
over that.
Yeah. It's so special, Steve, but it really, even though it happened in L.A., it's so Seattle that, you know, that's just what all the bands do.
This is, I mean, just seeing like guys like Stone Gossard and Jeff and just the whole crew up there on stage jamming with everybody and having a good time. I think Stone, I felt like he was up there the entire time. He was also up there with just Adam Levine of Maroon 5. You know, like, Adam Levine was there? What the hell?
What?
I got to give Adam Levine props. He did a great version of the song Seasons, which is on the single soundtrack, which is one of my favorite Cornell songs. It was just him and Stone Gossard doing this song. Who's who of people, including Taylor from The Pretty Reckless. She jumped up on stage. Perry Farrell, James Addiction jumped up on stage.
Wow.
It was just everybody seemed to be there. And a lot of people are talking about the person who stole the show is a very unlikely person, you would think. Pop star Miley Cyrus.
What?
Right. I saw that. Like,
I didn't know she was going to be there.
She did a couple of songs, including a really, I mean, it's hard to do it justice with these bootlegs, but I would hope somebody recorded it, or it'd be really cool if she went in the studio and did a version of this, because her pipes were perfect for Say Hello to Heaven, and that's what she did up on stage with the members of Temple of the Dog performing this Chris Cornell song. Really cool. Man, it was just weird, though, seeing Miley Cyrus with members of Temple of the Dog up on stage. And a really great version of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I would love for her to go in the studio and and bang out a version of that.
So that was, dude, I have to say, that actually got me a little emotional.
Well, you're crying.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. I know, of all things, I don't know what it is, but she did a really good job.
She did.
Of course, that's a sweet song, and of course, you know, you think of Chris.
It's a powerful song, yeah.
And you think of the family, and, you know.
Damn, I got goosebumps.
It was hitting you that way, and it just all of a sudden was like, wow, I could have easily, if I didn't have to just take a deep breath, I could have easily just been a sobbing mess.
Would you like Danny to hug you?
No, I don't need that.
Are you sure?
That would turn good feelings into like a stranger danger.
Sexy feelings.
Oh, yeah. I'd love for this whole thing to be an album and just do it for charity or something.
It would be awesome if they did something along those lines. Mm-hmm. But that one, I when I saw that, I was just like, no, there's no way she could do a good job. And then you watch
She's super
it.
Talented.
I know.
And she really is.
Absolutely. She's got a great voice. There's no reason why it shouldn't work. It's just you don't expect it. You know, you don't expect the guys in Temple of the Dog to even have her there. But I thought it was cool that there was such an eclectic mix of artists that showed up to pay tribute to Chris Cornell. Just shows just how much love people had for him. People that you wouldn't even expect to love him. Someone like Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, and art recognizes art. I think that in that community, they knew, you know, probably how much she had love, you know, for the work of somebody who was awesome as Chris. And she is ridiculously talented. We always give her a hard time because she was a child star, but, you know, she's so good.
Yeah.
And it's just, that proves it. What a great version.
I have a feeling that she won over a lot of new fans just from that performance alone. And she really put her heart and soul into it. And you can see it. Not only can you hear it, but you can see it when she's performing in the video. One person even said, hey, damn, that Miley Cyrus song, really great. Another text, BJ, don't be sad. I'm bawling right now on my dump truck.
Yeah, dude, I know. Dude, how does it hit you like that? Well, because, you know, I mean, we're dudes. We have emotions. You know, we know we don't throw them out there all the time like other people. But my God, that hit me. And like, I'm just like, man.
Another person's damn guy's right in the fields this morning. Danny crying as much as me right now.
Nah, BJ's even crying more than Danny. Yeah.
You know, you always hate that when you have those moments where you start tearing up and you're around people and you just expect, you're like, oh gosh, I hope they don't notice. It happens with me and my wife. And she knows that I'm like suffering massively from menopause.
My wife is the same way, Steve.
Anything will bring out the tears. I watched that stupid Titan show with The Rock.
Oh, yeah?
There's a moment where this guy just crushes it in the game. He runs over and just gives his kid a hug. And I just started tearing up.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it.
And she'll do that old, like, she'll just kind of, she senses it. Even if she's, like, on my lap, she can feel it because I'm, like, struggling not to sniffle because I don't want to bring it up. And she just kind of looks up, she's like, are you crying?
Yeah.
No.
No, not at all. Shut up. You're crying.
I'm not crying. You're crying.
Yeah. Oh, it's, that's why I won't go to the movies with Vicky, because she always takes me to some stupid Disney movie where I'll be crying.
It's okay. I cry at those, too.
So a lot of people are texting saying they also have waterworks. So don't, you are in the majority.
You see, this is where I hope, like, I don't know, HBO usually does stuff like that. But if somebody had did like a video, like,
I hope, man.
Such an awesome presentation that would be, I'll tell you, and I'd pay for it if there was like another Cornell set they released where they put that in there.
Bro, I would love for them to just go in the studio, the members of Temple of the Dog with Miley Cyrus, do a version of that. Put it out there for people to buy for, and raise all the money for Chris's foundation.
Yeah.
I'd buy it twice at least. Yeah. Maybe even three times, and I'll give one to you so I can watch you tear up again.
I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, it would be worth it to tear up again. That was a gorgeous version. Just amazing.
Someone says, I can't stand her music, but wow. Another person says, I just tuned in. What's this Chris Cornell tribute I'm listening to? It was just a big tribute to Chris Cornell in L.A., where they assembled a bunch of musicians from Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters, Metallica, Miley Cyrus, Adam Levine, and they all got together and sang Cornell songs.
And like Steve said before, Adam Levine and Miley Cyrus did such a great job with the songs they did.
Yep.
Wow. You know, and a lot of love. I'm just so happy that Chris's family can feel that love.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
his daughter got a standing ovation. Yeah, a lot of people just standing throughout the whole show, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's so tough when, you know, a person is in a position where you don't know if they know how loved they are. You know, that's you just don't know. And Chris was so loved, and I hope the family got some good warm feelings and felt embraced by all the people that were there.
Not only his family, but also his bandmates. Think about it for Soundgarden.
That's true.
That was probably the last time the three of those guys are going to be on stage together doing Soundgarden songs, unless they do something like this again.
Yeah.
Also the Audioslave guys as well. It was great seeing those dudes all together. And obviously the Temple of the Dog guys. So you had a lot of people up there being able to heal, doing something that they love to do in honor of a guy that was obviously very important in their lives.
You know, after you do the news, I got a question for you.
Okay. Well,
just remind me of the Soundgarden question.
All right. Well, as far as weather, we got 52 degrees. And thank you to Kia of... keep moving.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you to Kia Piot for giving us news and sports. Sorry.
No problem, buddy.
Good job. Forgot to write that down.
No, Kia Piot. Those guys are awesome. Question is this, because obviously with Alice in Chains, you know, when enough time went by, even though there was enough resistance, would you someday...
William Duvall also did a great job. He was there.
Oh,
yep.
Man, everybody was there. Mm-hmm. At some point, if Soundgarden, the remaining members, wanted to go find a new lead singer and try to, you know, keep moving on the way Alice has done, how would you be with that?
100% fine.
And how much time do you think's got to pass?
If they did it right now, I'd be fine with it. But I'm also not that person that ever got mad at Alice in Chains. We obviously have had those conversations. Yeah. And it's a 50-50 split of people that get all up in arms. How dare a band want to continue being a band? And, you know, like, oh, change your name, do this. I think as long as you do it in the right way. And the guys in Soundgarden, most of these Seattle bands, they're not the type of person that would do it without doing it in the most respectful way. It wouldn't be bad. Right. I wouldn't have a bad taste in my mouth if they did it. It'd be pretty cool, in fact.
I think the best, when people are like, well, not enough time passed, I think the appropriate amount of time that needs to pass is the amount of time for the band members to heal.
Absolutely.
And I think that's all that matters.
And I'm sure they talk with his family as well and make sure it was fine. You know, I mean, I think there'll be a lot of things. But I'll say this. I don't necessarily view that ever happening. And it's just my own personal feeling. I just don't see those guys in Soundgarden. They were so different and unique. Like, it just seemed like they'll just disappear and you wouldn't see them do anything again. I think they're content with probably not touring. And obviously Matt's busy with Pearl Jam. But, I mean, I don't foresee, like, Kim Thayil really having this crazy urge to hit the road and continue to make music. But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Whereas I felt that with the guys in Alice in Chains. I think if they found the right person that could that was the right fit for what they were doing and they were fine with it, why? Well, who am I to then tell them they can't do it? If I don't like it, I don't have to buy it.
Yeah,
I don't need to make them feel bad for wanting to continue being a band.
It is, you know, and that's just the whole idea about fans. You, Steve, you and I come from a generation where we never thought we could dictate to the band how they should do, or any artistic venture, how they should do things. There's a new petition out there from the fans of the Joker for DC Comics to just come out and say, look, he's gay. And I there have been iterations of the Joker over the years done by some awesome people where basically it's, he was a homosexual in certain iterations, but then they went and sort of introduced a new character, Harley Quinn, made him straight again, if you will, or at least say, you know, whatever it was, he was ambiguous. And now fans go, can you please put him back the way we feel like a lot of folks want him to be, and that was a gay character. And my thing is this, I just never knew you could do that. It's like, as a fan of anything, I never knew I could actually petition. It just didn't seem like that was the, you know what I mean? No matter what, even if I didn't like the ending of something or didn't like something, it never occurred to me that you had that power. There's definitely a change in fandom where fans feel like I have a right to petition somebody to change something I don't like. And I have no opinion either way about, you know, the Joker. It's just, it's the idea that you as a fan feel like you have the right. My generation, I never thought I would have that. Ever have the right to, if I ever said to Stan Lee, I don't like the way you did that Spider-Man book, I would never think of being able to do that.
You said something, you said that they, at one point, they wanted to go back to how he was the Joker. I didn't know this.
In certain stories, certain iconic stories, it looked like, they, according to this, the thing I read, because I'm not a huge Joker fan, but I have read some of these stories and I can't remember, but iconic stories, relatively recent, maybe 80s, 90s to aughts, he was kind of, I guess, considered to be homosexual, and then they brought in this Harley Quinn character supposedly as his girlfriend, though they really haven't had a real romantic relationship. But people are like, make him gay again is really what the essence of this petition is. It's well written and well thought out, and frankly, I don't care. The Joker's an awesome character, and his orientation does nothing for me. I don't care.
Honestly, I feel like he'd be more asexual, and his like orientation is just chaos. Like, I think that's a weird thing. I can't picture him.
My sexual preference is doing chaos.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Can his lover be the Riddler? Because that'd be pretty awesome.
Well, you haven't been following Gotham.
Clearly.
But not the Joker.
Yeah, but actually, in Gotham, Penguin was trying to get with the Riddler.
Oh.
Yeah, in the new Gotham show, yeah.
How about that?
But yeah. It's not, like, cheesy or anything. It made sense.
Well, penguins are very horny. We've learned that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
It doesn't, you know, it really doesn't bother me. I don't know, you know, some people get all upset about stuff, and I don't care.
Why?
I don't care anymore. I feel like, look, if it's a great story, love is love. Who cares who's loving who? Who cares who loves what? And I mean, it does make sense to me if the Joker was gay, and therefore, why does he let Batman live all the time? But maybe because Batman is the only one that he feels is his equal, and therefore there's a love for him. That actually makes more sense to, you know, like, why did you ever just kill Batman when you had the chance instead of put him in this gigantic contraption where he could free himself in, you know, in the next episode? Now it makes sense. It's like, well, you know, he kind of had a love for the dude.
Here, Batman, get out of this sexy contraption that I concocted for you.
Yeah. Oh man. But it's like, I mean, Rev, you probably, did it start with your generation where you thought, oh, we could actually just petition anybody to make things the way we want?
No, not at all.
It wasn't you. So maybe millennials thought, okay, we'll just tell everybody to change something we don't like when somebody presented art to us.
My youth was pre-internet. So like when the internet came around, we just thought it was fun for looking up sexy stuff and then just looking up random memes and even just like memes and things like that before they were even memes. So like the petitions I've always thought were goofy and silly.
Yeah.
So I've never signed one that wasn't for like an important thing. Like none of these things like that. Like I don't care about any of those things. So it's definitely not my generation.
And am I mistaken? Because you know video games. Was it the game Mass Effect where they changed the ending because everybody hated it so much?
Yeah. And I don't even know if they petitioned that or if they just, you know, took their pitchforks to the old Twitter sphere and decided to lose their minds collectively on that one.
Yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's as good as a petition if they see enough complaints.
Yeah.
It's just insane.
But I mean, old school nerdy stuff, like for example, and spoiler alert if you haven't read these old school Batman comics, but you got to decide as the reader if Robin died or lived. And so people got to write in what they wanted to
see. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so they started this mess.
So I'm blaming the old school when the Joker iconically, you know, killed Robin, you know, with a crowbar. That was voted on by the viewers.
Wow. By the, so the reader said, yep. so they had a chance to do that.
They wrote in and got to vote, and that's what happened. He died.
What's the cat? Was it Two-Face?
Yeah.
He should be bisexual. One side of his face is into dudes, the other side's into chicks.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
You know what? I mean, what the hell? That's canon to me now.
That would be an
interesting wrinkle.
Let's start a petition.
He needs a mustache so he can offer mustache rides.
Just on one half of his face.
I think he did. Didn't the Billy Dee Williams version have a mustache? I think in that Batman movie.
Oh, in the first Batman, yeah, but that was pre Two-Face.
Yeah. He still was Harvey Dent. Still the dude.
That was full face.
Yeah, full face. Oh, now there's a new villain, full face.
What's your special ability? I have a full face.
I have a full face.
Yeah, I go full face, baby. Yesterday, Steve, he did get this one wrong.
In Jurassic Park, what animal did they feed to the T-Rex?
A rat.
No.
A bird.
No.
Wayne Knight.
No.
No, the correct answer was, the Wayne Knight was a great answer. You know what? If they just fed him early enough, things would have been better. You know, they should have fed him like right at the beginning of the movie to a T-Rex. Goat was what we're looking for. You want a shot at beating Steve? You got it. 206-421-ROCK. We're playing Beat Migs at 647 on The Rock.
Today's podcast is brought to you by bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne, who's ready to answer your questions about bankruptcy. Travis, is it true that if you filed for bankruptcy once, you can't file again?
Even if you filed bankruptcy before, you can almost certainly file bankruptcy again. Different types of bankruptcies have different time limits between filings. In Chapter 7, full bankruptcy, you can only file Chapter 7 once every 8 years. However, you can always, almost always file a Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 cases can be filed immediately following a Chapter 7. They can be filed immediately following a prior Chapter 13 case. Chapter 13 is a reorganization plan, so there will be some type of monthly payment, but it's based on your budget and your ability to afford that payment. So Chapter 13 is an option in almost all cases, even with a prior bankruptcy filing.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.